I don't have it.
Yeah, it's done.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. Did you want a copy?
I've got an extra one.
Oh, I got it on my phone here.
Oh, okay.
You want a paper copy? I got two.
No, I'll study up for hers here a little bit.
All right, it's on your own work.
Now, the paper furnished here to sign it just says hello and goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, you really don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'll never get a computer. I'm just too stupid out here.
Well,
and at my age, who cares?
I've had one. The only reason that I got one and got in print is because Umpqua changed.
You don't have an insurance, how easy and accessible to live on Sony map. I thought I had it with me.
And I start charging to me a state.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. But if you, that you could
go on or something.
And so I got that. And besides that, I was doing things still for work and, you know, all of that.
So well, you see, I've never had these.
Well, I didn't find it expensive.
One more person or one more commissioner.
We'll be down to 70 tonight. Your bedtime.
The air is going to stand.
Just for the day, just over. Take the time. Civic City.
Oh, are you?
Take the dog
on the screen.
If it's not really crowded.
Oh, no. I just want somebody
to print it out.
You know, if you can see that, because one of his questions he had in Walt's was what
I'm in the department said.
I can probably borrow it. It is. I took it out for some reason. And
do you want the whole binder or do you just want this?
I can just take a look at that. That's great. Thank you. Open it back.
Oh, yeah. We used to go to the seaside, but what we were there, but we. That little crisp one there. Just put it by. And if I was getting four violent mixes, I would be.
Yeah.
Sea trout one there. Oh,
it might be.
That little flounder was good.
Fish is good.
Yeah. I love sea fish.
Have you ever had a
catfish?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to live down there where they noodle, come out on the thing on his arm.
Yeah.
Can you just say hi?
But hey, are you staying cold?
I'm cold all the time.
Oh, you've got air. Oh, that's good.
Oh, I am. He's got the air so bad that I put the electric thing on the way.
All right. Yeah, you would want to. My dog, man, read your dog. I probably got thank you, Sandy. She was asking me. You know, maybe for the moment, they know you come in.
All right, yes, let's call this to order and we'll start with roll call.
Hodgkin's here.
Quarter in here.
Sue, can you hear us? Can you hear us now, Sue? Sure.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Okay, good. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, Sue is here.
Sue is here. So, Walt, you had the, you put together a little packet for us, which was great. And I was wondering, do you want to go through that briefly before we do the public comments? Is that?
Yeah. First of all, good evening, everyone. I hope everyone's staying cool. And can you hear me?
Just fine.
Just fine. Okay, real good. Why don't I just kind of go through my memo briefly, and we could begin the discussion or take public comments, however you wish. So going back to last month, we were looking at the issue of, you know, what do we do with our downtown? And I don't think there was any specific comments or direction. It was just like, let's start a discussion. And so what I prepared for the memo was just basically some questions that I think we need to consider. First one is fairly obvious. What do you want to achieve? I mean, how do you look at your downtown? Is this a place that visitors come to? Is this a important economic engine? Do you want to preserve the downtown, sort of an aesthetic approach here? Nothing is mutually exclusive. It could really be both, or maybe there's something else going on here that you need to consider. Just understand that making the downtown look good is not sufficient. I mean, you have to continually maintain the downtown to be a, you know, it's a very critical thing to do for a successful downtown. And there are some financial considerations for that. The second question is why? I mean, once you choose this objective, why is this a short-term or a long-term approach? In other words, do you want to get something up and running, or are you looking 5-10 years down the road? And I think that's important to consider. It's always easy to do a quick project, but it takes a lot more work to sustain a downtown. You have a downtown defined in your code. Just ask yourself whether or not that's sufficient, whether you have opportunities to expand or potentially to contract. Maybe you need to refocus that. That's something, you know, you lived there longer, and I think you have a good sense of what is feasible. Why now? In other words, this thing was brought up, at least to my knowledge, the first time last month. What is the interest in the downtown? I think, if anything, looking at the sign code probably got everyone interested in thinking about the downtown, and that's good. But as my memo notes, that you currently have a downtown association that is part of the Oregon Main Street program. And I would definitely urge you to look that up as a good source of information. In other words, you can look at various downtowns in the state, but you got to really think about what's good for the city of Yamhill. In fact, this brings up the question, were you even aware there was a downtown association in place? And were you aware that they were actively involved in the Main Street program? In fact, City of Yamhill is listed on the Main Street website. Once you have your objective figured out, what are any barriers or opportunities? You know, you have to ask, is like land available? Is a small population a hindrance? How about traffic, the amount of traffic that comes through town? What organizational issues will you face? Are there other factors that I haven't brought up you might want to consider? What needs to be done? You could say we'd like a nice downtown, but is it just code changes? Is it something far more than that? Design standards, financial incentives? I worked with a community that used financial incentives. They had a pool of money that once the owner made certain improvements, they would reimburse half of those costs. But the improvements had to go through certain steps of meeting sort of the city's objectives. So, you know, there are ways this can be done. But again, I think part of it has to be realistic. How should the city proceed with this? Again, you already have a downtown association. Maybe working with them a little closer or getting them involved in the planning commission meetings might be very helpful. And is it possible that you might be able to capture what is considered low-hanging fruit, if you will, to sort of jumpstart the program? And so what would that be? What's something out there that can get people interested? Again, your existing downtown association may be the best starting point, and the commission would liaise with that group. When's a good time to start? I mean, it's never too late to start, but when's a good time, and what is your expectation when you will see results? I've worked on urban renewal projects before, where the first project was putting new pipes in the ground. Well, that did not get people excited. It wasn't until the street pavers went in and there was above ground design that people became interested in. Again, you know, who's going to run this show, if you will? Is this going to be a city management issue? Is this going to be through the Downtown Association? Is it going to be council-led? Is the Planning Commission going to take the reins? Is there going to be some sort of cooperative arrangement with all the groups? And also, what resources does the city have? Who's available to volunteer? And this program isn't free. It takes investment in time and money, and you know, you need to think where that money is going to be coming from. And finally, after all this work is done, after you lay out a plan and you do it, how do you know whether the efforts were successful? You need to have some sort of metrics here. I think it's important to note that the city is not alone in this process, and that's the one thing I was surprised when I got the email from the Downtown Association. You already have a group in place working on this. You have the state through the Department of Parks and Rec. They actually are the parent department for this program. I've worked with them before, and they are a fantastic group. They hold some excellent conferences. And so definitely, you know, I would really urge you to consider working with them. As a final note, you really need to think about what is realistic and also what's going to attract private investment. Because ultimately, the city and the taxpayers just can't pour money into the downtown. There has to be some component where it attracts business and it attracts investment. And so the city is not sort of signing the check, if you will. And one of the things, in fact, we had a discussion on the planning network today, and we were looking at downtown issues, and someone brought it up. Flower baskets are not economic development. And I think all too often, well, let's throw up some nice banners and have hanging flower basket. It looks pretty. and someone drives through and says, that's very nice, wants to have them pull off the road and go to a restaurant, shop at a store, do something downtown, wants to attract people. So again, I'm posing the questions and I don't necessarily have the answers, but I think this is probably at least a reasonable point to start. And I think the other comment I'd like to make is you already have a downtown association group, and it's really important that over time you establish a separate group that is able to handle these sort of downtown issues. Just like the Planning Commission, sort of the assist the City Council in planning, your downtown association assists the city and Planning Commission in matters related to the downtown. So I will leave it at that. Again, I'm not certain where to take this, but one thing I'd like to suggest at the next meeting we have, invite the folks from the Downtown Association to come in, explain to you what they're doing, what sort of projects are on the horizon, and also maybe begin a conversation between you and the association on how you could work together. Is there something planning can do? Is there something the commission can do? Is there something we need to change in the codes? That's where you folks would come in. So with that, I will stop right there.
Thanks, Walt. That was great. Hey, Ken, I didn't see you there.
Hey, Shay, good to see you. I apologize for my late entry. I clicked on the link in the agenda, and it wouldn't let me in as a panelist. So took me a few minutes to figure it out. I went on the website and entered as a citizen, and then Sharon upgraded me to panelist. So I got in the back door. Thanks for taking over, Jay.
Absolutely.
I think, Jay, if you'll just continue to run it there, I feel a little disembodied. I apologize for not being there. I've had some health issues that made it difficult to get there. So, but I did, before I turn it back to you, Shay, I'd like to ask Walt, how could we bring, should we do some research or backup, some preliminary looking at Oregon Main Street program? Now, that's something that costs money, right? And we get a consultant and they take us through some questions and answers and processes, and maybe that's where the Downtown Association gets educated to be more effective.
Actually, that's a very good question. Sherry Stewart runs the program. She is one of those state individuals that will go anywhere, anytime, for any reason to help communities with their downtown. The state's very, very fortunate to have Sherry on board. It may be worthwhile just to have a separate meeting with the Downtown Association Planning Commission, opening it up to the public, but have Sherry Stewart give her presentation. Right now, we're just sort of thinking, yeah, it'd be nice to do something nice downtown, but without any direction, goals, resources, who's doing what, where, when, and why, you can wind up working across purposes. I've seen that happen, and it really makes a mess of things. One organization I work with just could not get it off the ground because they were constantly changing goals and what they wanted to do, instead of focusing. Sherry Stewart's an excellent resource, and it might behoove the city just to have a town hall during one of the Planning Commission meetings to have her make a presentation, have people ask questions, and that might be a good way to jumpstart. Right now, I think the commission's interested in doing something. I think it's important, though, to work with the Oregon Main Street program because they have the muscle. They also have the ability to, dare I say, get grants, give grants. And so, it's always nice to get a little seed money, figure out what you're doing. But I think it's important to be realistic. And that would be my suggestion. After going through all this, I think my suggestion is have a meeting with them, a public meeting with them, and invite Sherry.
So Sherry does take some money to get started with, right?
No, she is a public servant.
She will be here.
That is part of her job. She can talk more about the dollars and cents. She has a handle on that.
But, now, I think I might have been in a meeting with her, and as years ago, and she kind of opened up and says, well, what do you want? You know, mm-hmm. I'm not here to tell you what you, and I kind of sat there like, boy, I wish I knew what I want. I wish I had gotten a degree in city, what makes a city vital. And I just felt a little helpless. Getting it off the ground with ideas is tough.
And I fully concur with that. And that's why I was posing this series of questions. I mean, you could probably take out half the questions just to focus on how do you get going? What do you want? I mean, first obvious thing is what do you want? And do you have the time and financial resources to do it? And are you realistic enough to recognize that, you know, making it look nice and painting buildings is wonderful. As someone who just had the house painted, I tell you, there's nothing like a fresh coat of paint to make things look good. The downside is, though, if you don't have any continued financial investment and growth and development in that, it just dies on the vine. And suddenly projects start looking a little shabbier and it loses momentum. There has to be an economic reason for people to stop and invest, or tourists come in, which generates the interest and investment, or businesses, new businesses. Why here? And that's the tough question. So as I said, I'm posing them. I don't have all the answers for you, but I think you already have a group in town, and it might be well worth considering bringing them into the picture, or you going, you know, connecting with them in some manner to see what you could do as a commission. You have a lot of interest in your community. And again, that would be my thought.
Well, back to you, Shay.
Thank you. And thank you, Walt, Sue. I think that's great. I think that's perfect. And I think I would say that's probably what we need to do, is to reach out. I think maybe I would volunteer if somebody else wanted to come along with me, maybe have a meeting with Ms. Sherry Stewart and with the Downtown Association, and kind of get something figured out before the next meeting, invite them to come.
Sharon, would it be okay if I would it be okay with the commission and also Sharon that I contact Sherry and see if she could come to one of our meetings? Would that be acceptable?
I think that'd be great.
Mine would be, and if she wants to attend virtually, just let me know and I'll email her a link. I'll just need her email address.
Excellent. I will certainly contact her, and I think we may have a public hearing next month, so probably October might be a better time. But yes, let me go ahead and contact her. I'll lay it out, have a nice phone conversation. She's a wonderful lady, and I think this might be good for the commission to hear what she has to say.
So who's on the Downtown Association? Do you know?
So there is Philip Higgins and Kara, whose last name I don't recall. I had notes on all this, but I didn't know it was going to go.
Weber.
Yeah. Who, she and I are actually still playing phone tag regarding the sign.
Who? The person from the real estate office.
Oh, so I can't the Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, I'll bring it to the website.
So could I have those names again?
So Philip Higgins.
Okay.
And I think it was Kara Weber.
Yeah, Karen Weber.
Kara. K A R A. Kara.
Okay.
And then Sharon's looking at the other lady now. Not that there's maybe only those, but those are the ones we know of.
I don't think that this has been updated because it has Steve Harlock on here, and I think he's no longer with the Yamhill Downtown Association. But there's Philip Higgins, Anita, is it Borges?
Borges.
Yeah. Borges. It also lists Larry Hiesacker and then Kara Weber.
Larry who?
Larry Hiesacker. And then you got Kara Weber, right?
Yes. How do you spell Larry's last name?
Whose last name?
Larry.
Hiesacker.
Okay. Well, I just, from my point of view, I've lived here for 47 years, and there has not been a lot of change in this town. I mean, there's a turnover, you know, it used to be the Amhill Cafe, and then it was, you know, and now it's Lago, you know, we added the Yamhill Barn Grill. There's been this business and that business that's come and gone, but there has not been anybody much that stayed. And that's, you know, every now and then you'll see something you'll be driving down the road and you'll see a business and it looks like a really viable business. And it looks like it's a really going concern. And then you drive by 2 years later and it's not there.
Mm.
It's because it's just stuck out there all by itself. And that's basically what Yamhill is like. You know, there's the bank, there's T&E, there's the insurance company. And that's about it. That's still here. That's been here since Hector was a pup. Everything else has been a turnover. The barbershop's been consistent, but you know, who what's there to draw people? And we've got all these people now. We got another new subdivision coming in, and where are they going to go? They may stop at the couple of restaurants that's here now. We got three. And other than that, where are they going to go? I mean, if they go to T&E, they're certainly not going to shop there. They're going to go there for the convenience items. But what is there in this town that keeps people in this town or draws people to this town? There's nothing. And I just really think that it's time for, if Yamhill is going to continue to get all these little subdivisions around it, that it's time to figure out a way to draw people to stay here, to want to be in this town, not just to live in this town. Yeah. My sense.
Yeah. Actually, that ties in very well with, I think, the underlying philosophy of the Oregon Land Use Program, that they would really, just to reduce vehicle trips and associated impacts, just to get people to live and work in the community, or if they can't always work in the community, if they live, they could shop, they could recreate in the community. And that really makes things a little bit easier. So you're right. I think, you know, one of the questions I asked here, I think it had to do with, let's see, barriers and opportunities. Well, the fact that you have more population, I mean, we're not talking a tidal wave here, but you are talking increase in population, and that's certainly a opportunity for the downtown. I mean, you begin to put pieces together like that. So, you know, and one other thing, I should mention this earlier, but this does not happen overnight. It takes a sustained effort by the community. So I don't want to, you know, have you put on your rose-colored glasses and think this is easy. It takes a sustained, consistent effort, and you've got to have the right people doing the job. And that's why I think, again, I think if Sherry can make a presentation, and I would definitely urge you, go to the website, go to Oregon Main Street. They have a lot of interesting things there. And, you know, a successful community doesn't have to be downtown Astoria or downtown, you know, Lake Oswego or something like that. It can be a smaller community that does well, that takes pride in their downtown, and that attracts people. And the other thing that attracts people are crowds. So, I mean, if you get people coming into the community for events, there's a lot of things you could work together here. So, again, these are just some basic ideas, something to think about. I would hope that you would keep this memo in hand and start maybe making notes. And in the interim, I could go ahead and contact Sherry with the state and see if she'd be willing to do a Zoom meeting for us.
That sounds great. I think this would be a good time to move to public comment. Get chomping at the bit.
Yep, I know.
I think you should go first.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. Patty Perrin, 215 North Maple Street. So I want to expand on what Sue just stated, that there have been businesses here, they last a year or two or whatever, and then they're gone. So I've only been here 20 years, half as long as her, and there have been three and possibly four businesses that have been here and beat feet a few years ago. And so my first question would be, why did they leave? Was it too costly for them to be here? Did they not have enough participation from the community as a whole?
Sure.
You know, visiting their establishment. And then, so, and this is nothing about what was just stated, but I think that the necessity is to why businesses come and then they leave versus how can we get businesses in here? We need to find out why they left in the first place. The real reason why they left, not just sugar-coated reason why. And then the other thing is, and I have harped on this for years, but this is not a walkable city to be safe when you're walking, whether it be 240, 47. I do know a little bit about the side streets, but there's no businesses on the side streets. So until we get a handle, I'll put it that way, on enforcement of our speed and people being able to walk, you know, cross the street safely. I think that's another situation that has to be brought under control in order to feel safe about walking around, crossing the streets and whatever to get to those businesses.
I mean, I think that, yeah, safety downtown is definitely a thing, but I'm not sure that falls much. I don't know much, but planning can really do, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you. Crossing 47, yeah. You take your life in your hands. So, and that's, I am.
Oh, no, I cross that every week. And my kids do on the way to school.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about the crossing guards. You know what I mean? But I know that they are doing a study on that intersection right now. ODOT is.
It's never going to happen, yeah. Shay.
40 years. Yeah.
Yeah. They're never going to put a stoplight in there. And I addressed this with city council before. There's one stoplight between two,
Forest Grove and Mac.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, not even Forest Grove. I'm talking the freeway. There's 26. There's one stoplight between the freeway and
McMinnville,
yeah. And that's it. They're never going, and I've talked to ODOT about it before, they're never going to put a stoplight in there.
So again, I mean,
it's wishful thinking on whoever's trying to do anything about it.
Planning can mandate that they put one in and it wouldn't matter. You know what I mean? I don't know what we could do it from our level.
Right.
But I mean, that's definitely something that needs to be addressed with whoever addresses that. Yeah.
Chair Corrigan.
Yeah.
I did an on-site visit with ODOT, I want to say this last fall or so. Mm-hmm. And they came on site and we were talking about safe routes to school and different things. And I said, if you really want to know the most dangerous thing, and we were meeting with the superintendent, I said, it's the intersection of 240 and 47. And they went over there and they were looking at it, and they have received funding and they are working on a project. What they were saying was a stop, four-way stop, not a stoplight, but a four-way stop.
I don't know. That, I mean, to me, that would be great. Because that's, especially when you get somebody that's not from here, that doesn't know how to operate that intersection.
Yeah, I know. I think that's going to, personally, I think that's going to cause more problems than anything because of the amount of truck traffic that goes through here. It's going to be horrendous for backup on both sides of, on 47 as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a nightmare for anybody trying to getting in. If you live on 47, which I do, obviously, anybody that's going to try and get onto 47, it's going to be, like I say, it's going to be like school time. When I try and go out onto 47 and the kids are either being picked up or let out of school, I have to time it just perfect so that I don't have to sit in my driveway for at least 5 minutes before I can even get out onto Azalea. That would be, in my opinion, that would be a nightmare for this town if they do a four-way stop.
So again, I'm not sure the planning can do anything about that, but I will tell you, on my farm, I had to put in a driveway that comes up to Highway 47. And I can tell you that was 2 years and a lot of meetings with the permit guy. So I would be happy to reach out and talk to those guys this week. And just away from planning.
Yeah.
But
either way, I think some investigation needs to be done as to why the businesses left that were here in the first place. And it, maybe, like I said, maybe the rent's too high or whatever. And then that way, it will help you determine what can be changed to potentially bring some new business into town.
Thank you, Patty. Go ahead.
I just got two quick insights on businesses here. Number one, there's no certainty of water. So that's definitely going to affect businesses who want to come and stay. Number two would be, let's say I could turn over a Golden Leaf and tomorrow I want to build a Costco and an Albertsons right here in this town. Where the heck are you going to build it? There's no land available to build on, to my knowledge. So you're not going to grow if you don't have structure in place. You know, like Costco would take probably 5 acres, something like that. But you know, but I'm saying that we're so limited on growth. And anymore with the speed limit like it is down Highway 47, they blow through town, they don't have time to look.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know now that they don't stop you unless you're doing at least 35? So why not just make the damn speed limit 35? And that's a school zone down here too. So there's a lot of factors involved in that. But I think water is a great big one, because you're never going to convince people that, hey, man, water is just a guarantee, because Gamble's always behind the eight ball on the water. That's just some insight. And one other point about the Yamhill Downtown Association. I've heard that name a lot, but I've been to every meeting, city council, planning, and water advisory since they opened it back up. You never see anybody from there. So why do we got to beg them to come? Why can't they come in here and work with us?
So I know that it was the beginning of the pandemic, because Patty was here and I was here and her husband was here and Marty was here for a council meeting. That was it. But
Peter Phillips was there, or Philip Higgins rather was there. And he used to come regularly to the council meetings.
Yeah.
Was he a part of the
he's part of the downtown association.
Well, and I don't know that it gets, it's a great idea. Like you said, I've been to council meetings where they asked if anyone from the Yamhill downtown would speak because they had a slot on the agenda. Mm-hmm. He goes, so, you know.
Anita was attending after Philip couldn't.
Okay. Then, so it was a scheduling thing for Philip, probably. Well, he's a busy guy.
Yeah, he was doing, I think, a film project. And so then Anita was attending, but then I think she couldn't. And then Steve Karloff was attending, but I believe he left the association. So I think it's just a matter of trying to figure out who's currently on the association and making sure that they get an invite.
Sure.
I know that she's the gal that does the Beverly Cleary, the author.
Mm-hmm.
She came with another person to two meetings, and I believe they're associated with the Yamhill Downtown Association as well. So I think it's Amy Brewer.
Amy Brewer?
Yeah, so I think it's just a matter of reaching out and finding out who's still on the association and who would be able to attend meetings either in person or Zoom.
Sure. And again, yeah, I think that would be a great thing to be able to try to get that done, to have the Sherry Stewart. And again, I don't think we're in a position where we're begging anybody, but if there was somebody that could offer insight that's been down the path.
It seems to me from sitting here it is, because you have to go out and ask them to come. All these meetings are open to the public, and I would think the downtown would have every concern that regular citizens have about water and stuff. And
yeah, I'll reach out to that. I'll reach out to
I'll reword that, not begging, but
yeah, no, I just want to make sure
you're doing the footwork. Are y'all in this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, got scheduling issues. Maybe some of us need to be on that board.
Yeah, during the water crisis we had, we went around with petitions. And if you're a business owner, man, they're on the fence because they don't want to. But man, when it comes to water, what kind of business are you going to have? You don't have any water. However, but no, we all got to work together, and they'd be a good start with it. Just like the neighborhood watches, you know, they're being set up around town, which is good. But anyway, I forgot. I'm Doug Edwards at 580. I forgot that. I'm learning.
Go ahead.
That's it.
Well, Shay, it's Robert Davis, Yamhill Neighborhood Association. 212 North Maple Street. Look, I think Walt did a fantastic job writing up what he did from thin air. Great job, Walt. You hit all the points that we would like to discuss, every single one of them. But I know we don't have that kind of time tonight, so I will just focus in on one area. Item four in Walt's discussion, as YNA has said before to both the City Council and the Planning Commission, we have been asked by a couple of venture capitalists about what Yamhill needs for new businesses. But, well, we couldn't answer this question. As we know, many businesses have started up in the last 10 to 12 years, and all have failed but the restaurants. In addition, the Lawson House has reduced its open hours by being closed on Mondays. You know, we've gotten over 100 new residents within the last 12 years. We're about to get another 55, 57 on top of that. That pretty much makes Yamhill a bedroom community. And I hate that word because it has connotations of, well, let's find a place to live, but we won't shop there, we won't invest in the community. And I lived here 32 years, and I see that ongoing year after year. So with that said, we believe an economic business development staff should be formed, enacted, volunteers, whatever. You know, there's three major roles of economic development. They are business retention and expansion, which enhances existing businesses. The second is business expansion, where you attract new businesses. That's number one in my book. Business creation, encouraging the growth of new businesses. Without going into more detail about all this, we have done our homework and found that there are two nonprofit organizations that would support this concept. One is called Strategic Economic Development, located in Salem. And sorry, Walt, you didn't get the paper, but the board did here. And so the address and phone number is listed on their paper. The second is Oregon Business Council. They're also located in Portland. These are two nonprofits that would support the economic business development aspect of whatever committee, organization, people that you assign to this. And I think that would be a good fit for the Downtown Association. And to add to your parties, I would be happy to attend the meeting with the Downtown Association and the and Sue, if you put a meeting together. More heads are better than one.
Yeah.
And that's all I've got to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Rocket?
Yes. First point I'd like to make is a point of order. And that is that the Planning Commission, everything that is initiated or an action develops, it is authorized by the Planning Commission. So the city planner works for the Planning Commission. So as an example, and I don't mean to be rude or insulting at all, but tonight Walt is asking Sharon to, you know, if we could do this or that. And of course she's accommodating. But the Planning Commission authorizes all that, initiates it, authorizes it. Anybody can suggest it, but when the Planning Commission, a majority rules in that favor, that's the direction you go. That's the first thing. The second thing that is a little bit extensive is the fact that 100 years ago, in terms of numbers of businesses, 100 years ago, there were more businesses in the city of Yamhill than there are today. As long ago as 30 years ago, perhaps 35, Barbara Mitchell, who you all know did not and does not live in the city of Yamhill, but that family had a heart and a love for the city. And she was instrumental in attempting to put something together for the business community. In all of these years, there's nothing new under the sun. As far as the Yamhill Downtown Association is concerned, there may be different names, but there have been a series and a number of like kind of organizations throughout many years. So, you know, you're in the discussion. I think there's a lot of good thoughts, but I tend to try to think about fundamentals. And one of the fundamental thoughts is this. Why not get the people together who are the people who are in business, invite them to a meeting, just them to start with, and chair it in such a way that you open the discussion and you identify purposes to enhance and to help them. That doesn't mean that you're going to be bankrolling anything. It just means that you're lending your ear and you're putting them on notice. Come to the meeting prepared with factual thoughts. No pie in the sky. Let's just fundamentally talk about what your needs are. And you know, an interesting, and I don't have the number just at top of my mind here, but it is an interesting percentage. Every year, X number of businesses begin. And the next year or within 5 years, there is a huge percentage that are no longer in business. There's no way that government or any co-government kind of agency can do to assist what government free enterprise is supposed to be able to do. You either have, as an individual, and you want to go into business, you either have it together or you don't. And if you got it, if anybody's got enough money, they can start a business. But it takes a lot of persevering and potentially maybe even some great difficulties to keep it going. But meeting with them and have them make their expressions and try to outline things in a way that when you invite and have the meeting with Sherry, whatever it is.
Stewart, Sherry Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah. You have the meeting with her, you will be better equipped than if you just simply have a meeting with her.
Sure. I agree with that. I would love it if the businesses came all the time to all the meetings, you know?
Well, I know that, you know, there's a number of examples. I don't know them all, but relative to the intersection of 47 and 240, that has been an area and a subject matter of contention for a huge length of period of time. And ODOT, you know, seems to be pretty strong and say no, but persevering is important. I'm on the phone with ODOT a lot, just like Patty is. And the response to everything, I don't care how inexpensive or how expensive, we don't have any money. And we've got hundreds of communities that are asking for like kind of things. That's what we are up against in every community. But just like people who are submitting applications for grants, the people that are the best organized, that can identify purpose and absolute need with documentation, are the ones that get the most attention. Obviously, that takes a lot of work. And, you know, we're just not overpowered tonight with a lot of people from the community that are interested in their community. But that's what we would like to see. And the very thing about getting the business community together, you can't do everything for them. They've got to have skin in the game.
Absolutely.
So if they know that you're serious and you will help support them by your influence, and your influence goes to city council, and it can also go to public media systems, you know, platforms, those things can be helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I have a little side note here. You talk about ODOT. Patty was talking about the traffic and the traffic light. In the city of Carleton, the state of Oregon is researching a way to move the traffic from going through the 290 degree turns through Carleton to another way. The one thing that I found fascinating in the subject in the News Register was that ODOT said that there was not enough traffic to warrant any additional funding for lights or other apparatuses to slow up the traffic. That just floored me. I mean, if you sit out there and watch the traffic, you're talking about 10,000 cars that go through that intersection at 47 and 240. So I don't know what ODOT's thinking. Maybe they're thinking we have to have 100,000 cars go through our city before we need a light or something. But it just shocked me. And anyway, I just wanted to let you know that Carlton is moving their traffic because they no longer want the gridlock and the trucks going down through the middle of their town. Their downtown is two blocks, three if you count the post office to the right, but basically two blocks, about the same size as our town, downtown area. So, but they're moving, they want to move the trucks and the traffic off of that downtown area so they can get better street walking for their visitors, better parking for their restaurants and participants that come into the city. And so for them, it's a pretty good deal. For the traffic, I don't know, you know, where they're, the way they plan on moving it is to me just as bad as the two 90 degree turns. So, but ODOT's looking for conversation and it's not a done deal yet. So they'll have 2 years to figure it out. But we're in the same situation. So,
for sure. Pam, did you have your hand up?
I did have my hand up. I'm Pam Kirsch with the social media side of things. I wanted to come at this from a little bit different angle. There's a lot of people that have moved in here, and I have the privilege of greeting them when they try to join our platform. And I can't resist the opportunity to ask, may I ask, it's very interesting, what caused you to select Yamhill? And they're thrilled to be here. They like the small town. They do not say, we want to fix that raggedy downtown section. They say, we like it here. So I wanted to come at it from maybe other people's point of view and to say, convince me that more business we don't have room for, I don't know where they would go, but also the tender, delicate business model that would have to go into these places. I don't think we can sell balloons to make a successful business.
Although that's been tried. Yeah.
So I'm just coming at it a different way. Where would the growth take place? And what kind of pockets of community could we create to bring people downtown? What do we want is a very great question in the whole thing. And I think it's worthwhile to have a poll of some sort of the community.
I think that's great. And I think that it would be wonderful if we could use your platform a little bit to ask people if they wouldn't mind coming to one of these meetings. And then as Walt pointed out very well in his, the work that he did for us, is maybe it should be sectioned and stepped so that you have, what does downtown look like? Were you going to do like CCR type thing where you're building should look a certain way or what have you. And then maybe it could be the business expansion, retention, creation as an individual thing. You know, like you say, if you attack everything all at once, maybe you get nothing done. But if we could create little tiny things that are attainable and just start chunking forward on it, hammer on ODOT. I guess I know a girl that calls them a lot, right? Like we get, again, the problem could be solved. It will be solved someday, but it's never going to get solved if we give up on it, right?
Right. But the only thing is, like I say, I've talked to them before and Bob addressed the number of traffic, you know, the numbers of vehicles going through here. Not only that, it depends on how many serious accidents we have on that corner. Mm-hmm. And we don't have enough.
Isn't that terrible?
Serious accidents, right.
Yeah.
It is. It's pathetic, actually.
But again, I think that if we broke those into sections, we would be able to move forward more quickly in each individual section than if we lump it all together as a whole. And with that said, and Walt's reaching out to Ms. Stewart, and we were going to make some phone calls and try to get something together with the Downtown Association. We can find out if we can get some of the local businesses to come down. And again, maybe we can do that for the next agenda, Sharon. Maybe we can have it set up where we can have, if Ms. Stewart's available, we can have her do a presentation, and then maybe a presentation from the Yamhill Downtown Association.
We're most likely going to be having a public hearing for a development application, which you want all of that all on the same day. That's why Walt was proposing
okay.
October.
So are you saying there's another development being proposed?
No, a development permit, not a subdivision, if that's what you're referring to. Yes, development permit. So Ms. Stewart and I. And I did send Cara an email just to let her know some of the things that we discussed.
Okay, great. And I would I'll reach out to her and
I CC'd you as well.
Okay, beautiful. Well, now I've lost my whole big agenda page that just said hello, goodbye, but we actually did stuff. So yeah, we just worked on the next planning commission meeting. So that'll be for the development.
Yeah, the development.
Application. Thank you. Does anybody, any of the commissioners have any comments, discussion in addition to what we're doing?
So what development thing? Tell me, I didn't get what the development thing for next meeting is.
It's for the property that's across the street from City Hall and from the Larson House, that property next to Lago. They're proposing a gas station and a mini mart or a convenience store, something to that effect.
Okay.
John, you had something?
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea to maybe pull some of these businesses about what the biggest challenges were when they were getting started and what their challenges are now. And maybe we can kind of figure out why people are leaving.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I've got that on Patty's notes. What basically, I just put Patty Perrin, why'd they leave? For one line.
Does anybody know why the little bakery left?
My guess is gluten free. Like, I want gluten in my baked goods, like a lot of gluten.
Shay.
I do.
I've heard just from the perspective of City Hall that the person that was leasing the space and the person who owned the space, there were some issues between them. So from what I've heard, the business was doing really well.
Oh, good.
But the leaser and the leasee had some issues.
Yeah, I think that the owner of the building had some pretty serious county issues that made it impossible to continue. Rocky.
Yes, and the issue with the building across the street where they did bakery work, it was successful.
Oh, good.
The person who was the operator was the sister of the property owner, and I won't go into detail, but it was almost like a theft to own the property. And so as a result of the success of the business, the property owner forced the business occupant out.
Okay.
Huh. And so because the successful business owner was forced out and the property owner didn't have the same marketing capability and perseverance, et cetera, it just closed.
Understood. That's too bad.
Yes. And so it went into foreclosure because of unpaid property tax.
That's what I think. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that we could, like what you were saying, let's get all that together for that October meeting. And we can make phone calls and so forth all amongst us between now and then. That's a couple months to get figured out.
I definitely agree with Rocky, though. I think this council ought to sit down with the business owners, of which you're one out of town, but you still count, and sit down for an hour and talk about what you can do for these current business owners to support them, and they can tell you why they're here and what they've done to solidify being here. So, you know, two very valuable lessons, and do that before you have the meeting with the other person so that you have some background information. Yeah.
I think, John, that's kind of you think you have a little time between now and then? We could sort something out between the whole group of us here?
Yeah,
okay, cool. Well, yeah, I guess that's what we'll just try to figure that out, make sure that there's not, you know, just has to be two of us at a time, three, we get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Rocky.
The questions that city planner identified, and you know, everybody's got a copy of that. That might be part of the springboard, either whole or in part, to be presented also to the business community when you invite them in, just to get minds, you know, going. And if they know that there is a part of the government entity is interested in being helpful, at this point in time, that might generate some synergism between all of the business community. And if they have that and get that, then you can harness some of their energies, because they will now have skin in the game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Although, Rocky, you just reminded me of former President Reagan, the most terrifying words in the English language. Hi, I'm with the government. I'm here to help.
Yeah.
Well, if you need to, you can put a warning label on there also, and help them understand that you want to do no harm.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Sure. All right. No, I think that we've done a good job today, kind of compartmentalizing things, get some things sorted out. People volunteering to help out to move forward with this. A couple months to get it done in. Yeah.
As far as the Planning Commission is concerned, have you all, as a Planning Commission, have you continued to visit Chapter 1.16, which is Planning Commission rules, and zero it in so that you really feel comfortable with Section 1.16.060? Or that should be 1.16.060, and also 1.16.070.
You're saying that so fast.
Powers and duties, Planning Commission is the Citizens Advisory Committee. I just believe that you folks need to really grasp, just have that just overwhelmingly understood as you perform your duties and take your actions, and you will be very successful, because you are representing the citizenry. You are one, and you continue to do that in this capacity. And we all wish you well in the process.
Thank you, my friend. I also think, so yes, I do go through this, but what I think would be important, and I think you would agree, Rocky, is why don't we go ahead, we can get that code printed out, and we can include that in everybody's binder. I know it would make Rocky sleep better.
He's correct.
We should know. I mean, right? We're all about criterion if you don't know it. That's what we're here for.
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Pam.
And I'm
Was that on the wall?
Right?
And I am pleased at your performance tonight. And somebody said, Pam said something about the wall. You know, I don't see a map anywhere. There's some rolled up material over there. I don't know what it is, but a planning commission cannot visually understand many things unless you have visual aids. And this room is stark naked. Yeah, but is that the only thing you have?
No. I've got access to all sorts of maps. And so which Aaron takes very good care of us. We see there's another one there. She takes very good care of us.
Fantastic. Yep. Fantastic.
This has nothing to do with the planning commission, but what happened to all the historical pictures that were up here before?
So I think it all came down because they painted the inside because this place was falling apart.
Yeah, they painted the inside, and I believe that the mayor was going to suggest that the new city administrator work on that project, and the new city administrator declined. So now we're kind of back in the transition area. So, yeah. I think there's not enough people to be working on that
project. I mean, personally, this is a gathering place, and I think that that's an important part of this town is the history of it. And with it's all gone. Just like what everybody else wants to do with our history, they put
the walls happening.
Put it down the toilet.
So again, the thing is, what's great about this is that, you know, what's neat that I'm seeing happen in this town in the last couple of years is there's more interest in the meetings. People are showing up and people are talking, people are doing things. And not that anybody here is, but there's less complaining and more working. So again, what we've talked about before, maybe we can contact the mayor, see if we can get a work party in here and get the things put back up.
I think it's great to have the pictures up.
Yeah, but that's stuff that we can do for our town because they're all volunteers too. And, you know, Sharon's good about getting keys to us. We can come down and hang things up and fix her up. Yeah, I got a hammer. Anyway, does anybody have anything else for tonight? All right, we'll all work together. We'll all figure out what we're going to do for that October meeting. And I guess until next month for the mini mart, we'll get to see if we have a motion to adjourn.
I'll motion to adjourn.
You got a second?
Yeah.
All right, it is so we are adjourned.
Hey, Shay.
Thank you.
Shay, can you hear me?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to give you my phone number, and then if you could text me so I could have your phone number.
Sure.
I'm at 503.
Want to do that publicly, or would you like Sharon to give it to me?
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I'm y'all can call me. I'm not worried about that.
Well, Ken, if do you have a piece of paper handy? Because all these guys already have mine.
I can print out a list of a contact list for the planning commission.
That would be cool.
I'd like that for the full commission. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that would be great if we could do that. Maybe we could just come by and pick that up from you, or you can email it.
I can email it.
That's cool too.
Whatever.
Yeah, email to me would be great.
That'd be great.
Okay.
I'm interested in this meeting.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So although it's not generally complete, this was, I believe, Petra put it together, but she makes sure that we have anything that we ask for is provided to us.
Nice.